Today on Talk About That, I suddenly crave grapefruit juice and wonder how many worship leaders on stage is too many. Meanwhile, John tries to straighten his teeth and finds out he's way shorter than he thought he was. Plus a conversation about liturgy, church traditions, and whether the Apostle Paul would have been the early church version of Simon Cowell. Today's episode is not sponsored by Cured Ham, 100% more popular than diseased ham.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Let's go.
Johnny, it's Christmas time in the city. It's another episode of Talk About That.
Jingle bells.
Oh my goodness, the wonder of Christmas is in the air.
You think?
You think?
Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
Well, you got...
You feel very humbuggish.
This commercialization of the holidays. That's what people want.
Just straight humbuggery at this point.
I like the... I want to say I'm going to come out in favor of the commercialization of Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. I think people rail about it, but it's pretty great.
You like it?
Yeah.
Because you get good deals? Is that
you
the
get
deal?
To go buy things.
When did you
feel
first,
a little bit better?
When did you first discover that your soul was black and corroded on the inside, like seared with a hot iron?
Just now.
You don't
just
see that?
Just now.
The good thing about having your conscience seared with a hot iron is you're not only that worried about it. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man,
It hurts then, but then you're like, I'm good.
I feel nothing.
From here on out.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, let's... I just want a good deal, and I want a new flat screen, so Christmas time.
You know what Laura wants?
What?
A frame television.
What is that?
It looks like a picture frame. It's like super thin, hangs so like you can put...
What's the... I don't understand the appeal.
Well, you don't have all the... It's not coming way off the wall, and when it's off, it can just look like it's a frame. Like it looks like it's a picture frame.
With nothing in it.
Well, I think you could probably set images in it, too. Johnny's light just fell.
Hold on, guys. We run a top quality operation over here. Everything's fine. Don't be alarmed.
I told you to get a better light.
You're like, no, this one's
great. It's the clamp. It's not the light.
This one's great.
I'm sick of it. And we're back.
Look at that. It only took a minute. Sorry, guys. I apologize for that.
No, but the frame television.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something, again, even...
I'm not sure I understand.
It's so that it doesn't just look like you have a TV.
But it's going to look like a TV that's off with a frame around it when it's off.
It's going to look like a portrait. Like, it's going to look like fine art.
Well, if you can put a digital image in the frame that's always on, now you're always using your TV, so it can look like art.
I don't really know that part of it. To be clear, I don't think I know a lot about it.
And it
at
seems
all.
Like this is going to be really expensive too, right?
Well, that's the point. I'm looking for deals at Christmas, but yeah. I'm not.
I haven't even heard of it. A frame TV. Just go get a friggin' LG for $250 now. They're so cheap right now.
Wow. I wish Laura was here to take you down.
She will.
On the mat.
She'll get me. She'll text me when she hears the episode. She'll be like, I'll have you know.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I deserve to be put in
She's
my place.
She's more upset with me that I didn't know more about it.
Now that I know about them, I want one.
Now you do, because it's Christmas time.
Yeah. I just want to buying things helps you feel better for like half a second. It's that retail therapy, right?
I think this is what God intended, don't you?
Maybe.
Like,
that feels like
It's rare that you're talking to me back.
God intended for us to? Yeah, I don't know.
This is what he wanted at Christmas. He wanted
but
all
I do
of
think,
us.
Like, I didn't know I wanted it, but now I'm like, yeah, a frame. Okay, let's go. It's like I had a medicine when I was sick. And I don't know if they still have
That's a good time to take them.
And it was, it said on the warnings, take with food, take with whatever. And then it just said, do not take with grapefruit juice.
Oh, and you're like, I have to.
I was like,
you suddenly had a craving.
Who wants grapefruit? And then I was like, I wanted a glass of grapefruit juice so bad, John. I don't know what did it, but I was like, I need.
I think because grapefruit's on a lot of the medicines. I think that particular one.
Grapefruit's in the medicine?
No, the warning against grapefruit.
Oh, I started to say like, grapefruit's in a lot of the medicines we take. As you know.
Look at that grapefruit seed extract.
As we all know, most of the medicines we take have grapefruit in them. It's the only use for the grapefruit.
I want to say I asked Laura about it one time, and again, wow, I'm going to betray my lack of knowledge from things that I should know. But I think what she said is that it actually causes your body, it's like a more intense than, what's it? Oh, gosh. What does your liver do to medicine? What's the word?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know it.
Like processes?
Yeah, but there's another word.
Filters?
Oh, shoot.
I don't know. Something with bile?
No, this is right on the tip of my tongue.
It's fine.
It's
synthesizes it?
It metabolizes.
Metabolizes it, yeah.
Whew, boy. This is going well.
This is our...
I think it causes it to like...
We just have a medical minute now when we start the podcast. It's always like, what ails us today?
I think it's like a more intense metabolization almost. Yeah. Like that it almost is like more affecting to your liver and to your body.
Okay.
So it makes it more extreme. So,
having
grapefruit juice then makes it work better is what you're saying. And she's like, no, I'm not saying that at all.
But I mean, grapefruit's so bad. Like who's like... Man, this cold has got me down. Let me wash this down with a Fresca. Like, nobody wants grapefruit.
I like grapefruit.
You like Fresca?
It's a little sour. I like...
Bitter. No, Fresca, it's not just sour. It's like bitter.
Fresca's too sweet.
They found a way to make citrus fruit that's not sweet. It's like not very sweet.
Well, there's a lot of fruits in this world, Johnny, that
it's true.
Maybe you don't know about. You weren't in Bolivia.
Are you a pomegranate man?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean...
Not there, like hint of pomegranate, like that's in your sparkling buble.
Buble. No, I will. We had some pomegranate seeds the other day out, and I ate them.
You ate the seeds?
Well, that's what you eat of the pomegranate.
Oh, okay.
The little, they have little seeds at the center of them. Lord, there's a name for those things.
A seed in the center of the
isn't
seed.
Just like
oh my, it's a wheel within a mighty wheel.
They're good, but they leave little things in your teeth and stuff.
I don't like the little hairs on blueberries or blackberries, and they have those little tiny,
Johnny,
like blackberries.
You have hairs in your blueberries.
You know what I'm saying? Like the little hairs on blackberries, they're little.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
You
pick those off, I'll eat the blackberries.
Well.
Don't bring me.
No, they're fine. It's just.
They're very fine, but they're still there. You still taste them
How
on your.
How hairy is your blackberry?
I don't know.
Boy, that'll.
These had gone bad, I think, maybe. You said what you think?
That wasn't hair.
They're past the expiration date.
That was mold.
Yeah.
I
shouldn't be.
Blackberries, yeah, they're also stuff stuck in your teeth, but it's worth it. I have not the straightest teeth, so therefore, like, I don't eat corn on the cob.
I remember when Sadie...
Because it gets all in my
Sadie
teeth.
Sadie had to get that installation of that device in her mouth that I'd never heard of before where you crank it with a key to make her palate extend or whatever,
right.
To make her teeth all fit. And I said to you... Sadie was young, and I go, are there bad teeth in your family? And you go, there are bad teeth in my mouth. That was so funny.
It's a true story.
It's true.
I did do that Smile Direct Club.
Yeah.
Smile Club Direct, which I always get it backwards.
Smile Direct Club, and not a sponsor, and probably won't be.
No.
Maybe they will be now.
Apparently
but,
there's a lifetime warranty that I still may go back for, but...
I mean, haven't you passed the statute of what have you?
Johnny, have you ever heard, you know what lifetime means? There's no statute.
But you didn't do the thing.
No, I did. I went all the way to the last one they gave me, and I was so tired of ordering new ones because they kept sending me the wrong ones and stuff.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit, and I was tired of sticking my hands in my mouth because I was trying not to get sick. So I just let it go since
What
then.
I remember about it is trying to do episodes, and you were determined to wear it during the episode.
You're supposed to wear it all day.
And you were talking like, oh, sweet, let's do a podcast. it was so obvious it was in. You're like, dude, you can't tell us in. Let's just do the show. I'm like, you can tell it's in.
No, man, here's the deal. Let's just start the show.
this is not going to work. You just tried to sell me. It's like you're trying to sell me a used car. Right. You're just like, no, this is totally natural. I talk this way. It's like you just spit all over me.
it was like I was listening to myself right then. Well,
yeah.
That was
very, wasn't that a good impression? Very lifelike. Yeah. That was like you at age 8 or something.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm not trying to take down this company.
No.
And those of you who do
it's
it.
It's a lot of money, too.
Well, it wasn't that bad. I got the cheaper one. Like Invisalign's the more expensive one.
Okay.
And I went.
You got the great value brand.
Right. I got basically the Aldi version of Invisalign. Mm-hmm. And nothing. I actually love Aldi. I should take it down. The Walmart version.
You got to put a quarter in your every time you get it out at the end of the day.
Hey, can I just borrow your quarter? Yeah. Do you ever just like, hey, keep the quarter, and then someone hands you the quarter?
I don't. I go in there knowing that I'm not going to buy a bunch of stuff, and I don't get a buggy at all.
Wow.
And then I end up just carrying.
Why do you do that?
I'm stupid.
Because you don't want to take a quarter?
No, it's just I don't go in there. We go in there just looking around because we're there to like look for whatever.
Gosh,
but
no,
Curry finds all this. They have gluten-free stuff there that Curry loves. Yeah. So we end up just, I'm just holding it all.
Guys,
and then I get a box, like a.
Get a buggy, man.
Yeah. Like I've been fired from my job, I'm carrying it out.
Well, again, Aldi, we would love to be a sponsor because they're amazing.
It's true.
But
hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Smile Club Direct or Direct.
Smile Direct Club.
Whatever one it is. I'm sure it'd be for Invisalign as well. So they kind of brought me in because they said, now you could possibly only wear them at night. And I was like, okay. So when I got in, they sold me on the
whole. You don't want your teeth to get straight. You can wear them whenever you want.
So I went in for the like examination. They're like, yeah, yours, you're going to have to wear it all day.
Oh, wow. You
and all night. I was like, well, I've already gone this far. So I did it.
The disclaimer said, unless you're John Driver, like you didn't read the fine.
I hated it.
Yeah.
Like I hated.
Does it hurt? It's just uncomfortable.
It's well, you're not supposed to be able to drink anything but just water.
Yeah.
I drank coffee all day. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to brush your teeth after every meal, so I'm often at a restaurant.
So you're breaking the rules anyway.
No, I'm
you're
generally,
admitting. Well,
no,
you said you
I wouldn't drink coffee. No, so I'm saying I just couldn't. I had to take them out to drink coffee.
I see.
So you're taking coffee away, and then like we would be eating at Longhorn or whatever where we eat. I have to go in and brush my teeth in Longhorn.
Yeah, like you're at a truck stop.
Gosh, I was like, this is not. I think I'd rather have crooked teeth. It's worked out for me, okay, right? I mean, everyone. No, it's not worked out.
Yeah.
You think? Like, if I had hair. And straight white teeth.
Hold on.
I would be a senator right now, I think.
I can't even imagine.
Could you imagine?
I don't think the world's ready.
No.
I think
God
knew. We're probably better off to not have that.
We would not want
version of John Driver.
And if I was like 6 foot two, I really do think.
How tall are you now? What are you, 5'8"?
Wow.
Just kidding.
I'm 5'9". I'm not too far off of that.
Are you really? I thought you were like 5'10".
Well, my whole life.
You were under the guy.
So somewhere in like eighth grade, I got measured at 5'11 and a half in like gym class.
Somebody lied to you and you've believed the lie.
I lived like on my driver's license everywhere. It was always 5'11, 5'11 and a half. And then like a couple years ago, because we were always measuring Sadie and stuff.
Maybe you were standing up straight then and now you hunch.
That could be it. I don't know.
Maybe you've lost.
Maybe
some.
I was being measured with shoes on. I don't know what it was.
Oh, true. That's true. You're wearing gym shoes.
And so we measured me and I was 5'9". And I lost like, you know, a couple inches of confidence from my soul. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It was like, oh, wow. Whole time I've been thinking, I wish I never would have found out. It's like a whole different world now. I'm just kidding. It's really not that different.
No.
I couldn't have had any less confidence than I had already. I just find the people who are over 6 foot have more.
I don't know.
Because you're a tall guy. And
I'm 6'4".
You may be the one example of someone who's not that successful who's taller. You know what I'm saying?
I'm the exception that proves the rule. Hurtful. Thank you.
I appreciate that. That's,
allow me to retort.
there's a bleep button.
That's true.
Over here. Because we're trying on our a Rodecaster Pro, a really fancy board over here.
Right.
We're trying to do some extra patching.
To figure out how to get the sound effects and stuff to come
in. Because we have the sound effects in our ears, but I have to actually go back and put them back into the track afterwards.
Not like in our ears, like we're hearing voices.
No. That's what I hear.
Like
at night, I hear it
yeah.
as I'm sleeping. But as I was searching, there's a bleep button.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think bleep buttons are hilarious.
Yeah.
Like I saw Fallon the other night. I forget. He was showing a clip from something. It was like it was from It's a Wonderful Life. They made a trailer out of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
But then made it
they kept just dropping out random words, and it made it sound like they were cursing or whatever.
What's the horror, not the horror, the action, a violent Christmas?
Violent Night.
Violent Night, thank you. Yeah, a violent Christmas.
A very violent Christmas.
Well, they were doing the same thing, like, hey, this is a new trend now for Christmas movies.
Right.
So they took It's a Wonderful Life, you know, and
made it edgy and, you know, gritty.
Right. And it was at the end, he's like, I hate you all, you. And they just bleeped the last one where he didn't actually cuss. And yes, it was very funny. I think we could do that a lot.
Yeah. Just if you put a bleep in it, you can let your mind wander as to what was said.
And then what's great is it actually, you're bleeping, but you're actually bringing out the dirty mindedness of the listener. That's what's great.
I'm telling you that.
Because now they're inserting it.
It's your own mind that's dirty. That's
right. So when you hear a bleep, you put a bad word in there and giggle. That's on you.
That's the gospel.
Man.
That's what he... That's listen, we...
it's...
not necessarily, but... Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of the gospel, are you going to be here Sunday?
Are you preaching?
I don't know if I should answer that. Maybe you should answer first.
Well, I may have to be out of town, but I was... I'm trying to decide with, you know...
Yes, I'm preaching.
Are you really?
Last night, I picked up Sadie from... youth group.
I'll try to make it if you're going to preach.
No,
it's fine. I don't let you down.
It's fine.
Because we're going to go out of town probably, but I'll wait until after.
It's just going to disappoint you.
This is Advent. It's going to be.
I love Advent, but come on.
It's a real deal.
So Sadie gets in from the car. I go, what'd you talk about tonight? She goes, hope. I go, are you doing Advent? She goes, no.
Yeah.
I go, it was like last week on peace. She was like, maybe. I was like, I think you're doing Advent. He's just not calling it that. Yes, I'm preaching on love this week.
It could be, you could make it trendy, you know, like do the trendy, like you don't really have an Advent, you want to have like a manger things, like you do the trendy, whatever pop culture thing.
That's what I love about Advent is it's not trend. It's supposed to be, especially for we Protestants of the non-liturgical persuasion. We Protestants.
Yes.
Of like the non-liturgical persuasion.
Yes.
Okay. Like, this is the one, like, this is where we get to join with church history and Christians around the world.
Right.
Because often,
I like it.
Evangelicals, ex-evangelicals, people of that persuasion don't have any, like, tradition. There's
no, like,
to pull
anchoring.
From.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like Advent because it's like, oh, this is when, I think I said it like this in the first week, Johnny. Advent is like a global table, a four-course meal, which we all come to the same table around the world once a year to eat. Come on now. And at Easter we do it too, but that didn't really work.
I think it's always a four-course meal except for other denominations. Like, I don't like this. Do you have any other options? Like, that's denominationalism.
I'm sorry. Love, joy, peace, and hope is not...
I like the tablecloth, but do you have... I can't eat this. That's what we normally are.
Wow.
So you're saying you don't do that at Advent. You all dig in.
We're all going to eat hope today.
That's
right?
Beautiful.
As it were.
Well, that's good. I was telling a friend yesterday about that like I grew up in like non-denominational churches and Pentecostal churches. But the whole bent of it was then it was like the 80s and 90s. So it was like, let's demystify this thing. You can have a personal relationship with God that means he doesn't care if you wear a tank top to church. And so now you see like the other extreme of it where you have people who are just like, eh, there's no reverence at all.
Right.
And so I kind of, when I see something liturgical happening, it's just like, let's read this together. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Or I'm going to say this and you say this back I kind of get into that. Like there's something about it that I feel, you feel this something activated within you. I like it.
Yeah, I think our generation in particular, who came out of, you know, evangelical circles, I think are more attracted to it than maybe even generation ahead or generation behind. There's actually a lot of studies about that.
Yeah.
Sort of the flight of the Evangelicals to, well, that sounds like the book name, Flight of the Evangelicals.
Bro, that is, you got it.
To to liturgical circles. And then there's also, I've read the other day, like there's a little bit of a return even. For some of them, that didn't necessarily fulfill all the things they wanted either. I mean, if you're looking for it to like fill all the holes.
Yeah.
Because there are good things about what we were raised with as well. But it's interesting to me when you named your example, like it wasn't actually about gospel things. It was very superficial things like tank tops.
Yeah, just
because music, the way you dress, movies.
It meant something to you as a kid because, you know, when you're a little kid, you're like, I went to a private Baptist private school for a few years. And they would like measure your hair and, you know, your shorts, make sure you had the right shoes on for chapel. And it was all about the rules. And so when I started going to like a non-denom church and they were like, God doesn't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
He just, it's about the condition of your heart. Like you can come to him as you are. And I was like, this is awesome. And then after a while you'd start seeing like, you got to start being like, this is a little bit out of, like we're being distracting now with our looseness of this thing that we thought was, we meant for good, but now it's just like, there's no reverence for, people are staring at their phones the whole service. Sure. They got a cup of coffee in the hand during worship. They got one hand in the air and they sip the, like there's a weird, goes to the other extreme. So like liturgy brings us back to that center maybe.
But I think liturgy brings us back to the reverence of the right things. By the way.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, I think it reminds you like, oh, this is a holy place. This is, there's an, it's okay to be like mindful of it.
What liturgy does is it brings back, and I always, this is what drives me crazy about being a teacher for this long, like talking to people for this long, is I go, like I was writing for Sunday and I'm thinking, I'm thinking what they're thinking, and then maybe they're not. Like they're going to go, here we go again.
Oh yeah.
John's going to talk about it. And we're like, oh,
I know you've heard this churchy word so many times.
Right.
Let me break it down for you.
Well, you know, then I also though, and actually I've done some study with our people because I have like variables and data and controls over time because I've been with some people for 22 years, well, 20 years, well, 18 years here.
Yeah.
And I can say, hey, I want you to tell me what you remember about this series I did in 2007. They don't remember anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, I actually get a bigger clean slate. They're actually not paying attention as much as I think they are. And they're probably not going to, I could reshare the exact same sermon this year. Yeah. I doubt they would remember from last year's Advent. I'm not doing that.
Right.
But Johnny, I could. But there is that feeling of what liturgy does is it takes repetitious terms. And instead of them being like eye rollable, they become something that we find sacred if we really pay attention to them. But I could see how someone raised in a liturgical environment, because they run from their environment.
They feel like it's a ritual.
Right.
And it loses its meaning.
It gets stated so much, you know, which I think we all have our liturgies. They're just not all sacred.
Right.
You know, repetitious.
We all
have
cultural things that we go through the motions of, and we,
they
lose some of their value over time.
Like I was doing a wedding the other day and the bride, it was not a Catholic wedding, but the bride was raised Catholic and she was talking about, they call it sign of peace, I think is what they call it. Sorry, our Catholic listeners, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But she's like you, if you say sign of peace, then everyone, especially what we would call our greeting, then everybody in who's Catholic will just stand up and start shaking hands and stuff.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's a part, but we just call that
every
Sunday morning. It's in our PCO playlist of, hey guys, we're going to have a greeting time or whatever, you know. And in our day growing up, you'd have like a testimony night, right?
Right.
A Sunday night, you almost always gave a chance for someone to give a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
and if somebody was going to sing a special, it would go, put this song in the offertory.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be like, Sister Mildred will sing a song
while we pass the and you would give in relation to the quality of the song being sung. So
I like what you did with that high note, Sister Mildred. Here's an
extra
five. Here you
go. Here's an extra five for Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's,
I don't think that happened.
But Sister Mildred was awful, but bless her heart.
How do you remember, I've heard pastors talk about how they know which minister on staff when they do the offertory, because we don't do an offering.
They can tell by the level of giving?
Right.
Oh, wow.
And that really kind of creeps me out a little bit. Like, hey, get this guy. We get bigger offerings when he takes it up because he knows how to really motivate
it. It could just be
them.
Like what time of the month people get their checks and stuff, too. You don't know.
No, I'm telling you. There's guys who, like,
they know how to milk it.
Well, yeah. I mean, we know the guys.
This feels really creepy.
We used to play camps and stuff all the time.
I don't love this.
An offering at the end.
Yeah.
And they'd tell the kids.
The churches still do pass the plate. Like most churches now, it's a very QR code.
Give online, auto draft. Ours is a QR code, and we have a giving kiosk.
Oh, right.
Where you could drop in if you want, or you could use your phone if you want. And there's a QR code on the screen if you want to give. But we don't even we usually mention it.
A robot patrols the... It holds you upside down and shakes you. Is that all you got?
We remember that at camp, you were probably there. Someone was taking up an offering for the evangelist at the end.
Yeah.
And they were like, kids, when you leave here,
right?
I want you to take nothing home. I mean, give everything you got.
Yep.
And so I had this kid who'd given everything they got.
Yeah.
So we're driving on the way home back to Knoxville, and we pulled over at we always stopped at Fazoli's because we would have a breadstick eating contest at Fazoli's.
Youth group.
Yeah. And we're driving home, and like this kid's like, Pastor John, I don't have any money for lunch. I'm just going to skip. And I was like, okay, where's your money? And they were like, well, he said to give everything we had to God.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, if you remember correctly, I gave you that money before camp started.
You gave
everything that I had to God, and now I got to buy your lunch.
Want that praise.
And I did, and I think that girl actually won the breadstick eating contest.
Redemption.
So it all had a good ending.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting how, like, there is an art in certain circles of the way you take up an offering,
yeah.
And I don't know if I want to be that, because it was like a good thing, like, yeah, you know, he can really take up an offering, and you're like, yeah, but gross, you know what I'm saying? Unless it's like, now look, if we're, because right now we're sponsoring an organization called Crisis Aid,
uh-huh.
And we're going to work with them a lot this next year, and we're specifically helping to rescue girls in East Africa from the red light districts out of sex trafficking into their program. They've rescued a lot so far. Their goal is rescue 15,000. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable program. Hey, if someone can talk about that and have that,
yeah, no,
then
I mean, I'm
all for it.
Listen,
you know? So I guess it all can
this,
be that.
Yeah, things cost money, and this is good work. And I do a ton of fundraisers where I use comedy, and then they go, can you do the plea? Can you do an appeal?
Yeah.
And I try to help, and I, you know, and so I try to weave in a little bit of that. And that's not pissing me off. Anybody, it's going to be really cynical about that. It's going to be like, oh, this
sure.
guy's going to manipulate this crowd now that he's made them laugh. No, this is like, I'm giving them an opportunity to share in this thing. Like,
I agree. I retract all the previous statements.
Yeah, John. But I see what you mean about like when somebody's going to be like, oh, so-and-so can really take up an offering.
At church, what bothers me is if it's the same people basically every week,
yeah.
That's why we stopped doing it is I shouldn't have to like coach
right.
you
what
on
can
this
you,
thing.
Yeah, what can like, you say different?
Hopefully we're teaching you how to be generous, and this is a regular thing that you do without having to be reminded or pumped up to it.
Yeah.
If I got to pump you up to give, then we're not shepherding well.
Yeah.
Like you should already be like, oh, this is what we do, and I'll teach on giving, but it shouldn't be like a week-to-week transaction of whether or not I really got your attention.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to me.
Should have to convince you every week.
Right. Shepherding should be like, oh, okay, I understand why this is what Christians do.
Yeah.
So, which, Johnny, brings me to the next point. When are you going to start giving around here? I've gone through the records.
My mortgage company is the same way. Every month they have to be like, we just want to remind you that there's a lot of ways that you can pay your mortgage. You can do it online. You could mail us a check.
That is funny.
There's a need, and we just want you to know that if you miss two of these, we'll take your house away. Okay. Now that you've explained the need,
I'm
ready.
How would you like to give?
That's a
great point.
Yeah.
Like if you're a regular giver, then it's an expectation.
Yeah.
But I don't want to.
I'm not trying to draw a one-to-one parallel from.
No,
my
I was gonna say then
to
we get out of whack.
Church,
with,
but
you know,
I'm just saying.
If you
it's
want
just fun.
Jesus to love you, you're gonna. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. If you don't want Jesus to take your house, don't miss two payments.
Because it's right there in the Bible. Yeah, that's
well,
good.
No,
I think we've offended all the church people.
I was in a church the other day doing a service, or doing a thing, and it was an event for youth, and they had a worship team from a Christian college that was like a traveling team, you know, that
yeah.
goes out. And I didn't see them, their whole sound. I heard them in the lobby because I was getting ready. And I heard them, and it sounded like a lot of people on stage, like a full band. But I was like, okay. And then they were getting ready to go on stage to do their set. And I was out in the crowd. And I go, okay. There's like 200 kids in the crowd. I'm standing there. And then they started taking the stage. It was like singer, 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 bass player, drummer. And they all, it was so many people, John. Mm. Like it was one of those old style, like mm-hmm. we grew up with this, where the worship team was like five singers. Mm-hmm. And some of them are hitting the same note, which mm-hmm. is really weird. They're hitting like a unison note.
Yeah.
And I remember in my church, do you remember this? The foamies on top of the microphone were different colored. Mm-hmm. And that's how you told the sound guy in the back, like, can you give me more blue? You know, that's how they knew to. But anyway, they took, I remember looking, and I had not seen that many people on a stage facing me, singing at me in so long. I swear to you, it was like Braveheart. It was like a little bit like aggressive. Like if they charge, it was like a worship gang. I thought, if they charged, I got to be ready.
Yeah.
I pick up this chair? Like, what?
How do you protect yourself?
There's like a mandolin player, like chair beats mandolin. I know that. But
well, it's right there in the...
Everybody knows that. But it was an aggressive...
Wow.
But they were really good, and it was fun. But I just remember thinking, like, what's the... When do you know, like, at 13, 14, do you go, do we need all these?
I don't know. Yeah, what is the number?
Yeah, what's the number where you go, your worship team's probably too many people?
Well, if they're college, they probably had tried out.
Yeah. Maybe they're all filling a role, and that's fine.
Yeah.
There's always a place for you.
Come on, guys. Except on the worship team.
One guy's playing the triangle. Bing, ba-ding, ba-ding, bing, bing.
I don't miss the job of managing the worship team. I love playing with the worship team.
Yeah.
I love the camaraderie.
Did you have to fire people ever?
I don't think I ever fired, but you
are... Just getting people to sign up is hard.
You're constantly getting applications.
Oh, okay.
Generally, but not for the things you really have a vacancy for.
Right.
What I really need is a really good lead guitar player, usually, mm-hmm. or two. Like, I need a rotation of them, and a good rotation of keyboard players. Like, a, you know, we need that every time. I need a good rotation of drummers,
and then a rotating drummer like Newsboys.
Right. I need it like going in circles. I need sound men and women. Come on.
We need men of sound minds.
Come on now.
And women.
And, but like, the deal is, everybody wants to sing. That's what everybody wants to do. And we're not that kind of team generally that has, like I said, eight microphones. We used to be.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. And I always felt like, here's, and if anyone's listening from our past church experiences, like, I am not, you know me, if you've been in our church, I'm not qualified to determine who's a good and not a good vocalist. Like, I am a very below average vocalist.
John, don't be so humble.
No, I'm not being humble. You've heard it. Like, I like playing instruments.
Yeah.
I like worship leading. That's fine. It's probably the pastoral side. And I like singing harmonies and backups. And like, I can grab a verse here and there or whatever. It's fine. And I think harmonies are going to be where, if I add any value, I might be able to do something not distracting there. Otherwise, I'm distracted by my singing the whole time. So like, when people are applying, I'm like, ugh. This is one of those moments in church where I go, I didn't get into being a pastor for this, mm-hmm. to tell someone whether or not I think they can sing or
crush
not.
Crush their dreams.
Whether or not, and you're in Nashville, most everybody can sing. Like, they're very talented. But, you know, so you have to, well, you know, we do ask that all of our, so we went away from like a bunch of people on the stage and more to like, okay, we're going to have two people singing every week, and they're going to be the leader and the co-leader, and they're going to switch off kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, but you got to at least be able to pick out harmonies on your own. Like, do you sing harmony? Now you're already asking some qualifying question. And then nowadays it's like, you have to be like, hey, can you send me a video of you doing this? You know, like,
oh, wow.
You can't just put somebody.
Got to put them on an audition.
And then you got like, you think the Apostle Paul and them were like worried about auditioning singers? But
I do.
But wouldn't that be, man, that's a great video.
Yeah,
I do. How Paul would have auditioned singers. So
I get the feeling he would have been a little rude.
You think?
Paul seemed like a no-nonsense kind of guy. I get the feeling he was a Simon Cowell before there was Simon Cowell. Don't you think?
Paul is Simon Cowell. Again, the video ideas are...
Don't you think that there's a chance that he... Like, if there was ever, like, anybody was being trifling in church, it seems like he called him out a lot in those letters. He's writing a letter to the Corinthians. He's like, get over yourself. What are you, worshiping idols again? Stop it.
What are y'all doing?
So you think
there?
He would have put up with somebody like...
I do, actually. You know, my theory of Paul...
Okay.
Because he said it.
He didn't have Timothy around. He had grace for Timothy, who was just a kid. So maybe he would have more patience with people who are trying to get it right.
Paul did this thing that I understand.
Okay.
where he would hypothesize the criticisms of his reader.
Yeah.
And go ahead and beat them to the punch.
Yeah.
And so he would often say what he thought they would be thinking about him before they could do it.
Right.
And one of the things was he would say, you like to act, you're saying over there, well, he's really strong in his letters, but when he's here, he's real timid and weak.
Mm-hmm.
That's something he actually said. And then he even said, I forget to which church, that when I came to you, I came in sickness. He says in one letter, I came in sickness. Another, he says, I came in fear and trembling, like not in great persuasive words. I actually think he was a very humble person.
But more in his letters, it read harsher.
Right. And when they were in relationship and all, and he didn't have time to be there to do that. And when he was writing back, he just cut to the punch of like, wait.
Yeah.
He cut to the chase.
Right. Cut to the punch is different.
It's a whole different thing.
He pulled his punch.
He didn't pull punches. He cut to the chase. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he would just be like, hey, I got to tell you now, I'm not there. And I know you're going to act like, oh, wow, you're a big talker when you're in letters. Because so I really think that Paul, and even Peter, when he talked about Paul's, he says that some of Paul's letters are difficult to understand or to apply. Like, they acknowledged his letters were strong. But you don't hear a lot of people acknowledging that in person he was
even then.
Presence.
So even then, people were reading into text messages.
Oh, into texts. Messages.
They were, you know, it's like we get like my wife talks about that. Like she'll get a text from somebody and she'll be like, can you believe this? And I'll just read it and I'll just be like, this isn't that bad. But she's imagining tone that may not even be there. Could be, but
Andrew says me and his wife, Julie, read in text messages.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, you don't read enough into text messages because he reframes them all positively.
Yeah.
That's what he does. It's his thing.
So if there'd been video chat, the Church of Philippi might have just been like, we're good. I didn't know that. You even meant it that way.
We know what he meant.
We took it.
Yeah.
This whole thing could have been solved over FaceTime.
Oh, man, it would have made a big difference for Philippi. You know, Philippi was named after Philip.
Mm-hmm. And
in Pi.
And Pi.
No, he named a city after himself. Like, dude, that's
some. That is some guts right
deal.
There. Yeah.
If I called this leg Johnville, you
Driver Town.
You're like, number one, you're horrible at naming
Driveria.
Cities. I think about cities that don't have great names.
There's a lot of them.
Like Philadelphia is a great name.
Perfect.
You know, the city.
Sounds good.
Brotherly love. Like it's all in there.
But, named after Bob Philadelphia.
That's what I love about this.
Is it named after a guy named Phil? What's it named after?
Philadelphia means in Latin.
Oh, so it's a.
Yeah, city of brotherly love. Yeah.
Okay. So it means what it is.
Right.
There's no Phil. I'm disappointed.
Phileo. Okay.
Right. Okay. So
brotherly love.
It got
might be
it.
Greek. Sorry. Yeah. So yeah. Phileo, the city of brotherly love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
But you get into some cities.
There's not an agape city. Why not?
That's a great question.
There's not even.
Well, that's Greek.
There's
I don't
not
know.
An Eros.
That'd be a city of
erotic just romance.
Love.
Yeah.
That's Vegas, I think.
Paris. I don't know.
But you get into like poor Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's named after a really famous person.
Right.
Pittsburgh.
Ottawa.
Well, but that's I like the indigenous names. Like, I thought about Tennessee the other day. Like,
Pittsburgh.
We live in a place, but yeah, you get to.
Lynchburg.
Yeah, not good.
Not great.
Not
although
great.
It's just named after a guy named Lynch. I did find that out.
Yeah.
I thought it was like Lynchburg, Virginia. Like, they haven't changed that name, but it's not that way. Like, there was one, Curry was hanging out one time with Tabby, who she takes care of, and they were in. She goes, I'm in Murfreesboro at Lee Victory Park. And I go,
yeah.
Please tell me that's not some minor battle that the South won and they're calling it Lee Victory. And she goes, oh, no. And then she looked it up and it's just a guy named Lee Victory.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah, I think it is.
I drive down Lee Victory.
I think it's just a guy named Lee Victory. Because I was ready to like be like, we got to do something about
but
this.
But no, there's a bunch of battles right there. Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Because I literally go there right now. I'll be there tonight for volleyball.
I'm pretty sure it's a guy named Lee Victory. I think we looked it up.
No.
I swear to you. If I'm wrong, if I'm lying, I'm dying.
Because Murfreesboro is like a very...
It is. And I thought, well, this will be one of the ones they'll come after
battles.
The Confederate monuments and all that. We'll go back and we'll fix this stuff. But I was like, okay, no. This is actually, there was a dude.
Wow.
Yeah. Lee Victory. It sounds like a guy who runs a Ford dealership. Come on down to Lee Victory Ford. Yeah. Push, pull, drag that trade in. Yeah. No credit, bad credit, divorce, bankruptcy.
Murfreesboro is one of those, an unfortunate. Like when you try to say it to people who aren't from here Or they
well,
try,
they
when
all,
they try
people
to
who
read
live
it,
there want to say Murfreesboro. They don't.
Murfreesboro, yeah. Uh-huh. People from are like, hey, I'm coming to Nashville, and I've got a conference. Okay, it's called, and they struggle then.
Murfreesboro.
Murfreesboro. Yeah,
it's like, put the accent on the free.
Right. The accent on the, yeah.
Syllable.
That's
Murfreesboro.
Or Smyrna. We have people in the South that they make Smyrna.
Yeah.
Like a three-syllable word. Well, they say Smyrna.
And Smyrna's a town in the South that makes you sound more Southern as you say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Southern. If you live in Smithville, you're just living Smithville. You live in Smyrna, you just, you know, oats come out of your mouth as you say it.
Well, technically, you know, if you live in
Smyrna. Molasses drips from your mustache as you say Smyrna. You didn't even eat molasses, but it just appears.
Do you say sorghum or do you say sargum?
I don't say either. I don't know. I know what that is, but.
Yeah, my dad would call it sargum.
Sargum?
Which is kind of like Florida. Well,
we've had the
people
syrup.
Say,
we've had the syrup and syrup.
Yeah, syrup and syrup, argument. Which is easy. I've already won this Albert Tyers champion because obviously we don't travel to the nation of Syria, which is how we travel to Syria. So it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a Southerner, then sorghum, spelled sorghum, but it's kind of like people don't say Florida here. They say Florida, and they say sorghum. So I don't know if that's just a Nashville
Florida.
Thing.
Florida. I head down to Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
But I think I was raised saying Florida, but somewhere along the way, I began to shift and change. I don't know why.
Man.
Isn't that, boy?
It's that liberal drift.
You think it is?
Now you say Florida.
Oh, my gosh.
Like a northerner. Like a northerner. Tell you what.
Yeah.
That's fine. No, you're right, though. There's some bad town names out there, and it is unfortunate. And then sometimes you change your name, you know?
Okay.
Sometimes there's no reason to change your name. Like, I remember when I was a teenager, maybe it was in my 20s, Lake City, Tennessee, changed their name to Rocky Top. And there was like a lawsuit over it because it was like, okay, are you trying to take advantage of Rocky Top, the song, and like brand your town? But it's called Rocky Top, Tennessee now.
Really?
Yeah. So Lake City near Oak Ridge and Clinton
is
Rocky Top, Tennessee. That's the name of the town now.
Huh.
But there was a whole like litigation and is that legal to do?
Well, because in theory.
Because now you can make a bunch of t-shirts that say Rocky Top.
Right.
But now do the volunteers get involved and say like, we're the ones who branded Rocky Top.
Right.
And they're like, no, it's our city name. So
technically the songwriters are the ones who really.
They're rolling in the sorghum over there.
Ugh. Rocky Top. I did not know that. Lake City. Because it used to be Lake City when I was in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Lake City for years and years and years. But it's been Rocky Top for a long time now.
I like Lake City.
Yeah. What's wrong with Lake City? Why would you even? That's not like it's not like it's got some weird racist roots or some offensive.
It's literally
backstory.
A city.
It's a city with a lake.
I mean,
I think maybe the lake dried up. Maybe that's what it was. They're like, we can't call it Pond City. Like, it's getting so small.
And Puddle City.
Yeah, Puddle Town. Get out of here.
Well, you know, we live in an interesting place, Mount Juliet, but there's no mountain here.
No.
We're not on a mount, per se.
We are the highest elevation in Mount Juliet here in this parking lot. It's windy up here.
Do you know that to be...
I just think it is, because it's always windy.
So this is not like you really know that.
No.
Because you made definitive geographical statement.
I think the actual Mount Juliet is the top of Cheddar's. You just climb, you stand on the top of Cheddar's restaurant, and you go, and you scream Drago.
I do know that that I believe it's named
Irish village.
Ireland. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a
somebody that someone, was lived here visited, right. And then they came back. And
I thought it was like somebody immigrated here.
Maybe
it reminded them
of
a place in Ireland.
Huh.
So they named it.
Somebody when I was at Home Depot, they were an assistant manager and they were Scottish, and they said, "I said, where are you from in Scotland?" And they said they were from a town in Scotland called Paisley.
Huh.
And I said, and they go, it's where you get the whatever. Like, they came up with that horrible design. You know, Paisley's that weird amoeba-looking design. You see it on old, like, guys' ties and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Vests and things had the Paisley little amoeba designs. And he goes, and then it's literally been years, years and years and years. And, like, 10 years ago, I thought, I wonder if he was just, like, ribbing me. Like, if that's not real. I've never looked it up. And yeah, there's no way to know.
Yeah, I mean,
but if he was, that's a long play for a joke. If he was like, I'll tell this kid I'm from Paisley and that we came up. I'm from Plaid, Belgium. And if you ever seen a plaid, like tablecloth or a shirt, we did that. That's us. I go, that guy even sound like how he's from Belgium.
How convincing was the guy?
He was, but he's also kind of a guy that was a practical joker a little bit too.
So I feel like that if anybody should have a radar for this, it should be you.
Yeah, but it was
number
down
one. You're
then.
Super cynical.
I was in retail then, so everything was dead inside.
Yeah, inside you were like
I was not ready. I was talking about that the other day about how I've not worked in customer service or retail in 20 plus years, and it's just I don't even know if I would have the especially now like today's consumer.
Yeah,
that's just the crazy doorbuster, you know, rude Karen people. Yeah. I can't imagine being a waitress or I worked as a cashier at Home Depot, and I wasn't good then. I had no right to be as just aloof as I was. But now I would just be, even if I went into it with today's mindset, it's like, let's take care of these customers. I think they would just whittle me down into a nub by the end of a shift. I'm not ready. I have a lot of respect for people that work customer service. Hard. It's really hard.
I have a lot of respect for teachers as well.
No, not me.
Okay.
I think cashiers should make more, teachers should make less. Take the money from the teachers.
And give it,
Well, get 3 months off. I'm just kidding.
We were meeting
with some
people from SETI school when talking, and I was like, I think we should bring back, there should be like an analog movement in education.
Okay.
Because there's actually a lot more cheating in school these days.
The reason
is your technology is so, like there's apps. You can just take a picture of the problem and it'll give you the
answer. Oh, it's not even that. Have you seen this new AI stuff that you can do where, because there's an AI thing they're trying to sell me on the other day for blog posts where you can copy and paste a blog post and it will automatically spin it around the AI washing machine and reword it. And now you've got your blog post that can't be accused of plagiarism, but it's totally plagiarized. So that's the next phase. It's like, I wrote my paper on Alexander the Great, but did I, or did I? And it just spits out.
We just gave millions of people.
Yeah. I don't know how to get to the AI thing. I just know that it's out there.
Johnny.
Yeah,
that's
true. They do.
Yeah. I think
but analog, you're right though. It's going to be just like, what's the beans and the slider and the what's that called
abacus.
We'll just do the abacus.
There's an abacus for the
rabicus.
No, I don't want all, like I think you can still go in and submit your answers online if you want, but they have to work it out on paper. But there is something great about
show your work.
Just fill in a bubble sheet, man. Fill in a bubble sheet. It's a good day.
What's a bubble sheet?
Like a Scantron, like a bubble sheet. Oh, like your ACT
number
like,
two pencil.
Yeah,
were number one pencils that bad?
Seriously, could y'all not redeem number one?
Like, just call the number two a number one pencil and stop.
Like, and how many jokes were made about his chest is number two? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just set him up.
That's the old joke.
You can't do that.
How does your math teacher get rid of constipation? He works it out with a pencil. It's a number two pencil.
Number two pencil, yeah.
And he has to show his work and carry the remainder. That's not.
Okay, too
come
far.
On.
Come on, guys.
That's a family show.
Yeah, that would have been something you would have pitched to one of our videos years ago that Andrew would have said no to.
I do that joke if I am doing a youth event sometimes.
Really?
Because if I'm like sixth graders, I got to make a sixth grader laugh. I say like, people always ask me like, when did you know you were funny? And I say it was sixth grade math. And I tell that joke that my buddy told the joke of when does Mr. Wilson
so that's
does he
good,
get rid
though,
of constipation? And I go, I don't know. And then he goes, he works it out with a pencil. And I go, okay. But then I had like a response back and I knew that's when I knew that I was funny. Cause I was like, yeah. And he has to carry the remainder. And that's when I knew God had a plan. And then you can get a sixth grader to laugh with that. And then the leaders will be like,
now we'll never, we're going to hear this joke 1,000 times.
Right. Yeah. And they're like, well, we'll never have him back, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Cause then you never have to do a youth event again.
I
love youth events.
No, maybe you do. You love youth.
I do. They're hard though. Youth can be hard because they control the room, you know, and you get into this rhythm sometimes in comedy of asking questions of the crowd.
Right.
Like I call them poll questions. Mm-hmm. Like the setup of the joke is I'm going to tell a joke about my dogs, but I'm trying to ingratiate myself to the audience first. So I go,
how many of y'all got dogs?
If you do that with kids though, you can't get them back because they go, I got a dog. His name's Lucky. He's a pit bull and a lab mix and he's brown and like they're gone or they're all talking. Like if I have a joke where I go, my snoring's out of control. Who's rooming with a snorer this week? If it's like a convention or whatever. And then they will
they'll
point and laugh.
Yep.
You're so loud. And I can't get into the joke. So yeah. I just have learned, you have to learn to not do those kind of setups. You just go, I snore.
Hey kids, shut up. I'm telling jokes.
Shut up. I snore. Nobody cares about whether you snore. Nobody wants to hear about your dumb dog.
Quit crying, Brenda.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Brenda, suck it up. Sorry. God, Brenda's the worst. No, but it is a thing. That's on me. That's just a lesson you learn as you, I mean, you know this from like doing youth. But when you talk to kids, there's a way to get in. Like youth pastors all do this, and I never knew. It's a trick, but like getting them to repeat something is a way to make sure they're on the right page with you. And they're not, now you're fighting their phones. Like you weren't even fighting phones back then.
No.
You were just fighting for their attention. And so you'd be like, when I say this, you say whatever.
And jalapeno. And when they do it, they all say it. And they all usually get quiet afterwards because you've got them to stop talking about something else.
Yeah.
So you got to get them to talk to stop talk.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Like teachers would do it. I remember when I was a kid, I had a teacher. He would get quiet if he knew that you were, if the group was talking, like there's a group of people talking, three people talking. He would go, anyway, the Sumerians and ancient, and then he would just, and then you'd be talking and then you'd realize the room is quiet
loud,
and you'd go, and then he'd go, is that all? Are you done? And you're like, and you just turn to dust from the glare.
I would do that some.
Yeah.
I would do that some. But yeah. I also would do the, I would go, oh, I made this one up. Remember this one? I'd go, shh.
Oh, and there we go. Yeah.
And then I'll go, shh, at the end when they clap it, and it gets them real quiet all of a sudden.
Right.
I did that a lot.
It's a little trick.
I remember when it stopped working.
Yeah.
The kids got younger, and or they'd clap so loud. It made it louder, and they'd all start laughing, you know. But
they would laugh at what they just did.
But it in my heyday, it worked like magic. And then, like, suddenly,
the
kids changed.
The golden age of John. The kids. I didn't change. The kids changed.
Yeah, man, it wasn't me. Dude, I was the mayor of Johnville.
There is a thing of, like, getting quieter, too. Like, I've seen comics do this where they'll hold the mic out here to the point where the sound guy's getting frustrated with them. But it kind of makes the crowd lean in,
because
they don't want to miss anything, and it keeps them from getting above you because they're like, we can't talk over this guy because he's talking so low. So there is something that, like, I feel like I go out and try to be dominant. I'm like, I'm going to talk loud. I'm not a big presence on stage, but I don't move around a lot. But I try to at least be like loud and clear. But I've seen, like, I worked with Kevin Nealon. He did that. He came out and he was talking low. He was very conversational to the point where, and then I noticed after a while, like, you could hear a pin drop in that room. He had them kind of on his frequency.
Yeah.
It's like a trick.
Yeah. I'm not confident enough to do that.
And then
that.
If he was to go get loud in the middle of a joke, like it's a really like, boom, it's like an explosion.
Oh, wow. He's got somewhere to go.
Yeah.
He went away so we could miss him.
Some of y'all won't do that.
No.
And we wish you would.
Wait.
Don't go away. Please don't
Please
go
don't
away.
Please don't go away. In fact, it's a good time not to go away because, as you guys know here, by the end of December, I'd say, possibly beginning of January, but it's happening. We're in motion. We're going to be transitioning to a brand new podcast network.
Yeah, we're going corporate, and the show will never be the same.
The show will be the same.
No, we're ready. We're ready for a change. It's time.
It'll be fun.
You guys had 4 years of us to get settled in. Now it's time for us to, let's try to launch this rocket ship.
Bye-bye.
What I like to do is talk about us like we're a rocket ship, and that we call that hubris.
Yeah.
And it always goes well.
It does. Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Everyone knows that pride goes before a rise.
Yes.
It's right there in the old Bible. But if you do like what you hear, you actually can play a part.
Yes. We have a QR code at the bottom. If you would like to give, be that $1,000 champion. No. Go to our podcast website right now. That's where we're sending people. Talkaboutthatpodcast.com. But you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I was going to say iTunes, but that's not a thing anymore.
Any of your
is it?
Google Play platforms.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Find us there. Recommend us.
iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio. Leave a review, a rating. That helps people find the podcast. That's really big. And the audience is growing every day. And we appreciate that. Thanks for sharing. We hear so much from our listeners. We're trying to figure out a platform where you guys can get in touch with us in a more immediate way. If you want to send a question, hey, I loved this about last week. Talk about this more. We want to have them a better. We're trying to figure that out. So that's going to happen soon. It seems like it's harder for you guys to find a way to get in touch with us. We had a Twitter account for a while, but a lot of people aren't on Twitter anymore. It's just so we're trying to nail that down. That'll probably have like a chat feature or like a landing page that we're going to have in very soon. That's what I want, something like that.
Johnny's just making
info at talkabpod. I don't know. We need something because we want to be more interactive.
You could just email us.
Yeah, but what's that email address, John?
You could just go to john@johndriver.com if you want.
It's too complicated.
johnny@johnnyw.com.
That's true.
Yeah, there's all kinds of options, really.
Okay, do that. But then also go to Amazon, type in John Driver, and you can find all John's books.
There may be a Mennonite theologian that comes up whose name John Driver's written a bunch of books.
John's the one not wearing a straw hat.
The guy's really smart, but like he wrote a book on the atonement of the church. I've not written that one.
No.
And some others.
But listen, if you want to get these books by Christmas, you're going to want to order them soon.
Yeah.
This is your time.
In our video today, I'm spotlighting co-piloting.
Yes.
This is
about the founder of Pilot.
Luck, Leadership, and Learning. That's all about others. This is by Mr. Jim Haslam. I'm spotlighting that book because this week's his birthday. His 92nd birthday is this week. And Mr. Haslam's an amazing guy and probably does more good in terms of helping people in the world through their foundations and what they do, even for the University of Tennessee, than anyone.
And through Pilot gas stations.
Well, right. I do like Pilot gas stations.
Donut and a coffee.
They got that coffee machine that grinds it while you wait, you know, automatically. It's great. So I always send Mr. Haslam a picture.
I got to start drinking coffee. This is the year because it's going to be cold very soon.
Yeah.
And it's time for me to get into hot drinks.
I don't
sip things. That's a problem. I burn myself.
Yeah, I can help.
I'm a gulper. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm a chugger.
You need a.
I need to chug coffee. I could do cold coffee.
I need to get you a sweet coffee, and then we'll just take
a peppermint mocha, girly drink. Yeah.
Go to Starbucks and get a peppermint mocha. You'll be happy. Just take your time, Johnny. Take your time.
He'll be like, "Is it for you?" I'll be like, "No, Jillian. Jillian's the name." Then I forget what name I gave him.
You should also check out Johnny's comedy. You can just go to his Linktree, man. Linktree/Johnny, JONNIW.
Yeah, and we're putting out two or three new clips a week, and it's been really cool. And it's starting to kind of catch fire a little bit. I've had a couple of clips go viral as the kids are talking about. So that's pretty cool.
Listen, I had not seen, if you've not seen Johnny's joke on
the new clip tank about the church drummers.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
That's out there now.
My wife showed it to me. And I was like,
it invaded her feed, and she was like, "I got to see this. You got to see it."
Johnny's my best friend. I didn't even know about this joke. I had to hear it from my wife, and then me and Johnny got a big fight, and it was like,
"I'm so sorry."
But no, it's really, really great. So go follow Johnny on all of the various platforms.
Do that.
You're really gonna enjoy. You're gonna like what you see, guys.
You're gonna like the way you look. I guarantee it. Not a sponsor.
Well, guys, we appreciate the time you gave to us this week, as you do every week, and we hope that you will choose to do it again next week. Here on
Talk About That.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.